Welcome back to the nation's leaders from coast to coast. Some of the most dramatic moments in American history didn't happen on a battlefield, but in a courtroom or on the floor of Congress.
That's right, and that's what we're exploring today. Welcome to Wednesday Writs, our weekly deep dive into the landmark court cases, laws, and amendments that built the legal framework of our nation.
These are the stories behind the documents that define America. I'm Stephen.
And I'm Leah. Let's examine the evidence.
Leah, today we're discussing a law with a rather intimidating Latin name, the Posse Comitatus Act of 1878. It's not something most of us hear about every day, but it establishes a principle that Americans almost take for granted. What is this act all about?
You're right, Stephen. It's a fundamental principle of our democracy. The Posse Comitatus Act, at its core, prohibits the use of the United States Army, and later, the Air Force, as a domestic police force to enforce laws within the United States. The name itself, Posse Comitatus, quote, literally means, quote, power of the county, referring to the traditional Anglo-American practice of a sheriff summoning citizens to help enforce the law.
So the law essentially says that enforcing civilian law is a job for civilians, not for soldiers. Why did Congress feel the need to formally write that down in 1878? What was happening that made this an urgent issue?
To understand the act, you have to understand the turbulent period just before it was passed, the Reconstruction era. After the Civil War, the U.S. Army was stationed throughout the former Confederate states. Their mission was to maintain order, protect the civil rights of newly freed slaves, and supervise elections to ensure they were fair.
So the Army was, in effect, acting as a federal police force across the entire South.
Precisely. And for more than a decade, this was the reality. While this military presence was crucial for protecting African Americans from groups like the Ku Klux Klan and ensuring Republican governments could function, it was deeply resented by many white Southern Democrats. They viewed the federal troops as an occupying army, propping up a political order they opposed.
This all came to a head with the presidential election of 1876, right? One of the most contested elections in our history.
Exactly. The election between Republican Rutherford B. Hayes and Democrat Samuel Tilden was riddled with fraud and violence on both sides, and the results from several Southern states were in dispute. It led to a constitutional crisis that was resolved by the Compromise of 1877. In a backroom political deal, the Democrats agreed to let Hayes have the presidency.
And in exchange, Hayes agreed to do what?
He agreed to pull the last remaining federal troops out of the South. The withdrawal of the army effectively ended the Reconstruction era. The very next year, in 1878, a new Democratic-controlled Congress passed the Posse Comitatus Act. Their goal was to make sure that no future president could use the military to enforce federal law in the South, or anywhere else, ever again.
So the law that now serves as a bedrock principle separating military and police functions was actually born out of this incredibly messy and politically charged moment. It was passed to formalize the end of Reconstruction.
That's its complicated legacy. While it established the vital principle of civil control, its passage was also a key moment that allowed Southern states to roll back the political gains made by African Americans during Reconstruction, leading to the era of Jim Crow laws.
Is the act an absolute ban? Are there any exceptions?
It is not absolute, and that's a key point. Congress has carved out exceptions over the years. The most significant is the Insurrection Act of 1807, which we've talked about before. It allows the president to deploy troops on U.S. soil to suppress rebellion or when state authorities are unable to maintain order. It's also important to note, the act does not apply to the National Guard when operating under the authority of a state governor, or to the Coast Guard, which has a specific maritime law enforcement mission.
So even today, this law from 1878 is still at the center of the debate about the proper role of the military in our society. A law born from the ashes of the Civil War continues to define a core American value.
That's right. It represents the deep-seated American skepticism of standing armies and the belief that the military should be used for fighting wars, not policing its own citizens. Its history is messy, but its purpose remains central to our liberty.
And that's our special for today. Thank you for listening to the Nation's Leaders from Coast to Coast podcast. You can find show notes for this dive into history and links to our sources on our website, pointedwords.com. Please note, AI assists in the creation of this podcast from pointedwords.com. And remember, better pointed words than pointed swords.